WTW News Time is 8:06. It's 49 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Merry Maids. Call 979-595-1111 or go to merrymaids.com. Merry Maids, relax, it's done. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. Heaven has a new Friends of Bill Club. That's the Facebook post of retired WTAW sports director Tom Turbeville following the death of longtime community leader Bill Irwin.
Friends of Bill was a pretty much an unofficial club, but there was a lot of people that were members of it, and there were anybody that was a friend of Bill. And Bill would, about every month or so, or whenever he felt like it, would call up and invite people to lunch. And it would be at a different place, and sometimes there would be 10 there, sometimes there'd be 25 there, and he would always have maybe a special guest. It might be the new president of the university, or the new chancellor, or the new police chief, or whoever it was would be a special guest there. And he just, the whole purpose of this in Bill's mind was just to connect people together, just get people to know people.
Irwin died Monday of Parkinson's disease at the age of 75. He combined a 35-year career with GTE, who owned the local phone company through his retirement in 1996, with a list of public service accomplishments too long to list. Local dentist Bill Birdwell says he was among those whom Irwin taught to be servants.
There's a quote by George Bernard Shaw that I used when I introduced him one time, in fact, that says, I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community. And as long as I live, it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. And that was Bill.
A memorial service will be held Friday afternoon at 2 at Christ United Methodist Church in College Station. A public viewing will be held tomorrow evening from 6 until 8 at Hillier Funeral Home in Bryan. Governor Perry's seventh State of the State speech included a call to amend the Texas Constitution to allow unspent tax money to be returned to the people.
In a legislative session where we can see billions of dollars still on the table after we've funded our services and met the needs of an ever-expanding population, I think providing tax relief of at least $1.8 billion over this biennium is a good place to start.
He also proposed taking $3.7 billion from the Rainy Day Fund for a one-time investment in infrastructure programs for highways and water. The Chancellor of the A&M system, John Sharp, is a former state controller and former member of the House and Senate, so it was no surprise when Sharp was able to get a chuckle from a member of the Senate Finance Committee, Judith Zaffarini of Laredo.
So is it your testimony that if we pass Senate Bill 1 as is, that the universities within your system could adequately pursue excellence in light of their university-specific mission?
Wouldn't be as good of excellence.
Sharp went on to say there's a danger, as the economy is improving, of losing highly prized faculty and researchers.
Those folks get recruited all the time. They're very mobile, as you know, and we worry about that, and that's what we would use the money for.
The Senate's initial budget proposes restoring 1% of a 14% cut made 2 years ago in higher education funding. $114 million of building projects proposed for the A&M campus are part of tomorrow's agenda for the Board of Regents.
More than two-thirds of the total, or $78 million, will go towards building the new pandemic influenza building in the Bayou Corridor, slated to open 2 years from now. Then there's $15 million to renovate Leonard Hall, continuing the overhaul of housing for members of the Corps of Cadets. Also proposed is a renovation of the Williams Building, an $11 million project to put administrative leadership, including the president's office, in one location. Regents will also consider spending $10 million to renovate Scotts Hall, creating space for the expanding engineering college. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Chamber of Commerce President Royce Hickman couldn't recall ever celebrating a grand opening in a hallway, but that's what happened yesterday at the new BCS office of Congressman Bill Flores, who welcomed guests to the fourth floor of the Wells Fargo building on Briarcrest in Bryan.
This is your office. This office belongs to the people of District 17. It is not my office. You're welcome to come by anytime that you need any help or just want to have a cup of coffee. Don't worry, the coffee's paid for by Gene and me, not by the taxpayers.
The crowd spilled out of the office and down both sides of the hallway to the elevator. WTAW News Time is 8:11. It's 49 degrees. This look at the news is brought to you by Mary Maids. We'll have more news for you at 8:30, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
If you work long, hard hours and it's difficult to find the time to clean up around the house, relax, because with Mary Maids, it's done. There's nothing like opening your door after a long day at work to see a clean Mary Maids home. Your entire house is spotless and you didn't even lift a finger. Mary Maids sends professionally trained, screened, and bonded professionals to your home so you can trust everything is safe and secure. Voted best of the Brazos Valley for the last 5 years. Call Mary Maids at 979-595-1111. That's 979-595-1111. Mary Maids, relax. It's done.
Hi, this is Debbie at Bottom Line. Exciting news. We have a simple cash option for those who want their money within 24 to 48 hours. This is not a loan. If we prepare your return and it is accepted by the IRS, you could receive money in 24 to 48 hours. Call now. 691-2345.
813, let's do some weather. It's brought to you this morning by United Roofing. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com.
Should be a beautiful day across the region as high pressure continues to build across our area. It'll be with us for several days. High temperatures today near 60. Tonight clear and chilly with a low around 35. Tomorrow's going to be mostly sunny, 60 to 65. Clear skies tomorrow night, lows dropping down to about 40 to 45. On Friday, we'll have mostly sunny weather. Temperatures Friday afternoon between 60 and 65. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
813 News Talk 1620 WTAW. We'll be talking to Milton Dare in a few minutes about Bill Irwin, who a lot of people knew here around town, and his remembrances of Bill, who passed away earlier this week. But right now, Jason Bianski joins us first to tie that together. Obviously, you had dealings with Bill Irwin.
Yes, it's a great loss to our community. As I mentioned just a little earlier, Mayor Pro Tem Ann Horton and I, Reba Ragsdale, just visited here recently with Bill and up at Crestview Retirement Home, and got to visit with him for a little bit. Got a beautiful smile and I guess a wave goodbye. Mm. You know, when we left, but a wonderful man, a true community servant here in Bryan College Station. Has done so much. Whether it was at the university and his generosity to our communities, to our nonprofits. I served with him on many foundation and nonprofit boards, and, you know, he is top of the line. I think you had Dr. Bird, we'll talk a little bit about him earlier, and Milton Dare and I both served with him on the St. Joseph Foundation board, and had a lot of great times together and did a lot of good for the community together, so he'll truly be missed.
Yep. Let's talk a little bit as we look back now. It's been a couple of weeks since the Kyle Field Hotel Motel tax deal was made. From the city of Bryan's standpoint, you pleased with that?
Our city council, there won't be any action by the Bryan City Council on this matter. We have a consensus of all seven of our council members that this is a good thing for our community. This is going to come out of a hotel motel tax. This will be an additional 0.75% hotel motel tax paid for by the visitors in the city of Bryan. I think our contribution is quite small compared to what College Station and Brazos County are putting into it, but I think we're looking at about $50,000 a year. But as we grow with new hotel rooms and new beds in the next few years, our contribution will increase. But again, if you look at the overall impact on the community that the university has, that these games are having, by no means did anyone on our city council and our community want to see these games relocate for a year or two to Houston or San Antonio and, and impact our businesses the way they did. So this is it's not going to impact the current hotel motel funds and dollars that we receive. So all the nonprofits and all the tourism venues that benefit from it will not be impacted from it. This will be an additional 0.75% tax on the visitors of our community, and it's sunsetted. So after I think $36 to $38 million is raised, then it'll go away.
Jason Bianski, the mayor of Bryan, joining us this morning. When will the West Side Historic District come back before council? And as one member of council, what's your position?
Well, we plan on addressing that here in the last meeting of February, and we're looking at many options. I mean, it's about split, Scott. You know, that's the tough decision when you're on the council. Half the people are happy and half the people are upset sometimes on how you vote. And if you look at the folks that we've talked to and citizens, our public hearings, I would say it's even 50-50 for and 50-50 against. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and some education that needs to be done, and we want to better educate the people of the pros and cons and benefits of the Westside Historic District, but we'll be addressing it. And we've got some compromises that we're going to probably look at presenting in the near future that might be a beneficial to the residents out there, whether they are allowed to vote on it, whether we do additional kind of petition process, an opt-out process, but maybe we shrink the area. But the folks that want it are very strongly in support of it, and the folks that are against it are pretty strongly against it. So it's a tough deal. It's going to be one of those tough decisions. I'm for historic preservation. I'm also for neighborhood conservation. This is a neighborhood conservation issue. But, again, I don't want, some people that are against it are talking about it taking 2 or 3 weeks to get approval to paint their house. That's nonsense. I mean, we need to have a response within 24 hours or 48 hours on something like that, and it needs to be the bare minimum. But, again, we've also lost a lot of historic properties on the west side over the years. And so there's a lot of folks that have put a lot of money in that area that want to improve the area. If you look at the South Side Historic District in College Station, look at the East Side Historic District in Bryan, they have increased the property values. And, being in the real estate business, some of the first things you'll see in a listing on those properties is East Side Historic District or South Side Historic District in College Station. That is a big selling point. So I know some folks are afraid that it will increase their taxes. Well, anytime your property values go up, you will pay a little bit more in taxes. But in the sense, we've lowered our tax rate this past year. We want to continue to do that. And, it protects the area. And again, tough decision, but something we'll be looking at and addressing in the next 30 days.
You have once again floated an idea of making some changes to the golf course, pluses and minuses. What kind of reaction have you got?
Well, we're looking at a new strategic plan, and we're also looking at spending $1 million to $2 million on potential capital improvements. And any time, Scott, that we're going to spend that kind of money on capital improvements, it's something we need to talk about, and we need to look at the pros and cons. And I've had a lot of people approach me that would like to see other uses. I think we definitely understand from the referendum a couple of years ago that the people of Bryan, the citizens of Bryan, would like to keep that and maintain that as green space and as a park. So by no means are the council or the staff trying to sell that park. That is not on the agenda. There's no buyers. That's not being discussed. So if you hear that, that's just a bad rumor. We do want to maintain it as a park. We've got a lot of new families moving into the community that would like to see that as maybe ball fields. I've had people talk about an auditorium, a water park. We've had, they've got a really nice water park in College Station. The citizens of Bryan would like a nice water park in Bryan. We've had people talk about making it a really nice nine-hole facility. We've had people float the idea of possibly lighting the facility. And I think it was quoted that I would play if it was only nine holes. My quote, which was misquoted, was, I would play if it was a nine-hole litted course at night at 8 o'clock at night when my kids are in bed. But but before we spend millions in improvements, and then we've got people that have called me here recently that like, before you spend $1 million, $2 million, why don't you buy a Briarcrest Country Club? Well, we've gone down that road before. It's not for sale. That was voted on by the citizens also, and so that's off the table. Maybe we work something out with one of our other public courses, and we work with them on membership and work with them on maybe subsidizing rounds of play for our golfers here. But, we're a unique situation. We've got three private country clubs. Take those out of the picture. But we also have three public golf courses in Bryan College Station, which is unheard of. It's unheard of for most communities to have two public play type golf courses. And we're also competing with the private sector golf course. But we're just looking at options. We're sending it to the Parks and Recs. They're going to discuss it. Nothing's been decided. There's not a hidden agenda of what we want to do, but I think any time, Scott, that we want to spend $1 million, $2 million on improvements, we're losing anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 a year on it. Sure, parks aren't money generators, but we don't lose that kind of money on our other parks, and then we have to look at the pros and cons. But I think there could be a win-win where everyone benefits and more people can enjoy that space and still have something nice for the golfers. So we're going to explore different options, and I've talked to a lot of pro golfers and non-golfers alike that have some wonderful ideas, and, over the next few years, we'll address it.
Well, a quick response then, if there's anything that you haven't covered. The Eagle pretty well took you all to task in an editorial saying, leave it alone, don't you get the message? They had an unscientific poll that said 71% of the people want it left alone. Do you have a response?
71%. Their poll was 71% want to keep it 18 holes versus nine holes.
Right.
I would like to see that poll polls the citizens on how many people would like to keep it a golf course, or other people would like to use it for other parks and recreation use. I have talked to dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of people, that said, yes, we did vote to keep it a park, and we did vote to keep it a green space, but by no means did we vote to keep it a golf course. That was not on the referendum. It was voted to keep it as a park space, and that message comes across loud and clear to the council. But if we're going to spend $1 million, $2 million on improvements and compete with other golf courses in the area, we've got A&M, if you haven't seen, they're redesigning and redoing their whole course. They're going to be tough competition in a year, and our numbers are still down. Imagine what they're going to be like a year from now. So the citizens are going to have to decide if we want to keep subsidizing at a $300,000-$500,000 a year rate, if there could be some other use before we spend that kind of money, and we'll figure out the best means to do it. But we just want to look at options right now. This is not something that's going to be decided on anytime soon. We've always said that we need to go back before the Parks and Recs and let them look at some options and talk and let us study a little bit more before we make those type of improvements and expenditures.
Got it. Okay, finally, anything else you got for us today?
No, Scott, I just appreciate the opportunity to come in. We'll be looking at the budget cycle here in the next few years. Things are looking up in Bryan. You know, our sales tax are up. Valuations are up. We've got a lot of new businesses coming to town. We just celebrated the expansion of Woodbolt. It was mentioned 75 jobs, 75 new jobs. They didn't talk about the other 50 to 75 jobs that are already paying $50,000 to $60,000 a year in wages. New development, anytime we can bring in new business to our community, new sales taxes, new property taxes, that's money that can be put back in infrastructure, put back into parks and those services, and also look at reducing the property tax rate.
Sure. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. That's Jason Bieske, the mayor of Bryan. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays, brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance, serving all your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Haven't heard from your insurance agent in a while? Don't know who to contact to get answers to your questions about coverage? At Van Dyke Rankin, they realize there are a lot of unanswered questions you might have with your current coverage, particularly health care coverage. Look them up. They'll calm your fears and make sure you know what you have and with whom. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Company. Honesty, integrity, doing it right. Serving the greater Brazos Valley area and beyond since 1936. That's VanDykeRankin.com.
Hi, this is Roy Bowman from Bowman Business and Tax Services. It's tax time once again, and we are here to help you. We have been preparing tax returns since 1987 and are an authorized IRS e-file provider. Do you know the new tax laws? Probably not. Don't be one of the thousands of people who prepare their own return and pay the IRS too much money. Let us save you time and money. We guarantee fast and accurate preparation. Call us at Bowman Business and Tax Services at 696-6776 for your appointment.
824 News Talk 1620 WTAW. You know, we lost Bill Irwin earlier this week, and he touched many people's lives. But and one of the people we talked to, Bill Birdwell, yesterday, but also one of the people who he really touched the life of was Milton Darin. Milton joins us this morning from South Texas. Milton, how are you today?
Well, greetings from the Texas Hill Country.
Yeah, it's beautiful down there, I hope.
It is beautiful. Had a little rain yesterday.
Good for you. We like to talk about it up here. It happens every once in a while. I'd like for you to kind of, in a few minutes here, let's talk about your personal journey with Bill Irwin. First of all, how you met him and how you became involved in projects that were important to him.
Well, I was hired by St. Joseph Health System in 1991 after four interviews with Sister Gretchen and others. And one of the first people I met was the board member, Bill Irwin. And Bill was, one of those people that once you met him, you're his friend. And, of course, he took me by the hand, that first week I was there, and he said, oh, come on, you need to go meet the right people in town. Milton, remember, it's all about relationships, and it's all about being with people. And he was so great about putting people together. So it's just been an incredible, incredible journey with him. And I guess one of the things I want to do first on behalf of the Irwin family is to certainly thank the Brazos Valley and certainly the friends of Bill for taking care of the Irwin family for, 46 years, for certainly his wife Barbara and his kids, Karen, David, and his wife Jennifer and Amy Jones and her husband Glenn and their five grandchildren, I certainly want to express appreciation for the many, many years of love and care that people have shared with that family, too.
Milton Dare joining us, and he'll be speaking at the memorial for Bill on Friday. But now let's turn it around. And while he helped you, that taught you to then find other ways that you could reach out in the community.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Bill had those phrases of, you know, you just do things without expecting anything in return. You know, I just want to give back more than I take. And, of course, Bill, you know, took me all around town, introduced me to people, and got me involved with the Chamber of Commerce and with so many of the organizations that, gosh, United Way, the Boy Scouts, the, you know, different groups, and then of course his journey with his health, you know, took him down a variety of paths, and you know, Bill could have, you know, crawled in the corner and said, you know, I'm done, but every time he got a new disease, it seemed to re-energize him. You know, he was known as the Energizer Bunny. So if it was cancer or heart with multiple surgeries or his struggle with Parkinson's, you know, what did he do with Parkinson's? He turned around and contacted the National American Parkinson's Disease Association and helped get a grant and help establish an informational center and support group there in Bryan College Station.
Talking about Bill Irwin and remembrances there, what I find fascinating is now we've talked to you for a little bit. We talked to Bill Birdwell yesterday. You guys have not mentioned a single thing in common other than Bill. When you start talking about the organizations, it just shows how many different organizations Bill Irwin reached out and touched in this community.
Well, you know, and I think one of my fondest memories were, you know, Barbara went and got her PhD later in life at Bill's encouragement. And said, go get this and do what you need to do. And, you know, he would be great. And when when she had to be gone or she was studying or wherever she was, he would fill the void and set up these lunches at his home. And I'm sure you were there many times as I was, and you never knew he was going to show up. It might be, you know, R.C. Slocum, or it might be Ray Bowen, or it might have been, you know, Bookman Peters or Mervyn Peters or Tim Bryan or, you know, whoever it was, people would show up and he would put these people together. And I know in one of the homes, it was so funny because we would literally move all the furniture out of the living room and the dining room, and we would move in tables and chairs, and the caterers would show up, and then you'd have 40 or 50 people show up. And there was no agenda. You showed up. And you got together, and he was so good at bringing people together.
Well, that's a facilitator, certainly in the most intimate way when it came to that. And so, I presume that now where you are in the Hill Country, you have probably made that a better place simply out of the tutelage that Bill Irwin gave to you.
Well, we hope we're doing that. We're continuing some of the things that he taught me, and continuing to have events and build relationships and. Help with Peterson Regional Medical Center, where I am now. Mm-hmm. And it's just it's great to have those, you know, fond memories. You know, I've shed a few tears, but they've been tears of joy. And you just have to smile because Bill did so much
for
some people.
Memorial service will be held for Bill Irwin. That will be on Thursday from a viewing from 6 until 8. Then the memorial service at 2 o'clock at Christ United Methodist Church on Friday, and one of the people speaking is our guest, Milton Dare. Milton, thanks for the remembrance this morning, and good health to you and yours.
Well, very good, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Thursday and Friday.
All right, thanks a bunch.
Take care. Yep.
The Aggie Report is next.
Texas Mutual Insurance Company salutes the offensive lineman. Oh, it's not the most glamorous position on the field. You don't make the highlight reel or get your name in the paper. But you provide something no successful team can do without. Protection. We know. We've been protecting Texas companies with workers' comp coverage for over 20 years. So here's to you, linemen. You keep hanging in there and taking care of business. We'll do the same. Come see us at TexasMutual.com.
Texas A&M basketball team on the road tonight over in Starkville, Mississippi. Our broadcast starts at 7:30. The game will tip at 8. The Bulldogs, the opponent, again, that's at 8 tonight, 7:30 broadcast time on this station. Spotlight again today on freshman Alex Caruso. ask him about the greatest change that he has seen in his personal play since the start of the season going into this game tonight against Mississippi State.
The greatest improvement would probably be understanding what we're trying to do as a team.
Yeah.
Growing, like moving along offensively, defensively, and just seeing what coach wants, where I fit in with what we're doing offensively and then defensively, just getting after it. Definitely cutting down on turnovers. I know I'm a little wild sometimes, trying to make stuff happen, but I think I'm moving in the right direction, positive. I think we're gonna be there by the probably definitely by the end of the season, hopefully sooner.
Texas A&M freshman Alex Caruso, the Aggies and Mississippi State tonight, 8 o'clock game time, 7:30 on this station. I'm Dave Saub. That's your Aggie basketball report.
Don't miss the Brazos Valley Symphony and music director Marcello Busicchi as they present guitar and bandoneon supergroup Giampaolo Bandini and Cesare Chiacchieretta, performing Piazzolla's Tango Suite and Four Seasons of Buenos Aires on Sunday, February the 10th. This Italian-inspired journey also includes Puccini's Chrysanthemum and Respighi's Suite for Strings. Tickets are available at bvso.org or by calling 845-1234. The Brazos Valley Symphony, your professional orchestra, making music come alive.
WTAW News Time is 8:32. It's 48 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Kat McMullen. If you're a relative newcomer to Bryan College Station, the name Bill Irwin won't ring a bell. But if you're associated with any of the local organizations, he's played a role. And many are mourning Irwin's death after a long battle with Parkinson's disease. Local dentist Bill Birdwell says Irwin was the best at teaching others how to be servants.
Anytime Bill called you, you knew you needed to bring your checkbook, but you knew that he was calling you for a higher purpose. I really think Bill Irwin, God put him here not just to do amazing things in the community, but to inspire others to do what he's done. And I think there's just a whole lot of people, and I am one of those who feels like he led us to serve.
Another close friend was retired WTAW sports director Tom Turbeville.
Bill was all about just helping organizations and helping kids, and he was totally unabashed about calling anybody anytime and asking them to help too, either by money or by showing up or just laboring. Bill was not at all shy about calling you up and saying, hey, will you do this for this organization? And it was virtually impossible to tell Bill no.
Irwin died Monday at the age of 75. A public viewing will be held tomorrow evening from 6 until 8 at Hillier Funeral Home in Bryan. A memorial service will be held Friday afternoon at 2 at Christ United Methodist Church in College Station. There are at least two more honors going to last year's A&M football team.
Tomorrow's the first Board of Regents meeting since the Cotton Bowl, and their agenda includes a 3-page resolution honoring all the players by name. The resolution also gives special recognition to head coach Kevin Sumlin, former offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury, quarterback Johnny Manziel, offensive tackle Luke Jokel, and defensive end DeMontre Moore. And the Regents' business also includes giving the president authority to give new contracts to someone and 9 assistant coaches. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620, WTAW.
Last week, officials of A&M and the university system were in Austin promoting an idea to grow the engineering college at the flagship campus. This week, Chancellor John Sharp answered questions from a member of the Senate Finance Committee, John Whitmire of Houston, about the 25 by 25 initiative.
What are you going to do with all of them? You going to teach anything else?
What if you think about that? That's a 6.4% of your growth.
Sharp then responded to Whitmire's comment that there's nothing new about students who are not accepted to the college of their choice.
And you have the top 10 engineering schools, of which we are one in every category, all hovering around 10,000 to 11,000. And I think Dr. Banks looked at that and says, why does that exist? There is no reason for that to exist. Nobody wanted to get out of their comfort zone. We think we can help solve a big problem in this country, and that is produced engineers.
Responding to another committee member who was told there are too many engineers with doctoral degrees, Sharp says their initiative is directed at undergraduate students. The start of Congressman Bill Flores' second term also meant a move of his local district office. Flores, who explained the move was due to the lack of parking in their prior location, thanked those who attended yesterday's grand opening and invited all constituents to visit.
It's your taxpayer-supported office, and it's one of the things that allows us to stay connected with the people of our district that need some help or have a concern about something that's going on in Washington.
The crowd spilled out of the office located on the fourth floor of the Wells Fargo building on Briarcrest in Bryan and went down both sides of the hallway to the elevator. And Governor Perry has plans for the state's rainy day fund, namely ensuring an adequate water supply and building highways. Unlike 2 years ago when he wanted it preserved, Governor Perry told lawmakers in his State of the State address that this time around he wants to tap it.
To utilize $3.7 billion from the rainy day fund for a one-time investment in infrastructure programs.
The governor also says there's almost $12 billion in the rainy day fund, more than is needed, and he says the state should be diverting money to it. WTAW News Time is 8:36. It's 48 degrees. This Look at the News is brought to you by Paramount Property Analysts. We'll have more news for you at noon, or you can find it anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Kat McMullen, News Talk 1620 WTAW.
Hi, this is Roy Bowman from Bowman Business and Tax Services. It's tax time once again, and we are here to help you. We have been preparing tax returns since 1987 and are an authorized IRS e-file provider. Do you know the new tax laws? Probably not. Don't be one of the thousands of people who prepare their own return and pay the IRS too much money. Let us save you time and money. We guarantee fast and accurate preparation. Call us at Bowman Business and Tax Services at 696-6776 for your appointment.
Two of Texas A&M's most famous alumni, Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keene.
I wrote this song here, the front porch song, with my friend Lyle Lovett back some
an acoustic
years ago.
Evening.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day, February 14th at
this
Rudder Auditorium.
Just a big
Lyle Lovett and Robert Earl Keene. Tickets as low as $20 plus service charge. On sale Friday morning at 10 at the MSC box office and online at boxoffice.tamu.edu. Don't miss a very special evening.
Hey, if you like to sew and your sewing machine is just not working correctly or it's running slow and you can't get your projects finished, then you need to come see us at Sovac City. At Sovac City, we have a full-service repair department and we can make your sewing machine run like new again. Our service department is trained on all machines, including the new computer sewing machines and even the commercial multi-needle embroidery machines. We now have two locations to serve you. Sovac City and College Station in front of HEB are our new warehouse showroom location at 700 South Bryan Avenue in downtown Bryan. Sovac City and College Station and now in Bryan. Come on down and see us.
Hey, let's check some weather. It's brought to you by United Roofing. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to unitedroofingpros.com.
Should be a beautiful day across the region as high pressure continues to build across our area. It'll be with us for several days. High temperatures today near 60. Tonight clear and chilly with a low around 35. Tomorrow's going to be mostly sunny, 60 to 65. Clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dropping down to about 40 to 45. On Friday, we'll have mostly sunny weather. Temperatures Friday afternoon between 60 and 65. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
8:39, we're not a sports station. We don't play one on the radio. But there's kind of an interesting story that I presume they'll be talking about on Zone 1150, which is a sports talk station here in town. A federal judge has rejected an NCAA motion put forth yesterday that would have prevented players in an antitrust suit from moving forward with their lawsuit.
I saw this just a few minutes ago. This is something.
This is what happened. I'll try to cut through the legalese a little bit. The original lawsuit started in 2009 when a guy who was a basketball star for UCLA, his name was Ed O'Bannon. He and some other college basketball and football players wanted to claim a share of the revenue for television broadcasts. And originally the suit had included just rebroadcast revenues. Well, now the judge says, not only that, but how about live stuff as well? Now, I'm not going to say the NCAA makes any money off broadcasting college football. What do you think? Think they make any money off of that?
They expect the SEC contract to be bigger, the cable contract to be bigger for athletics than any other regular contract.
Yeah, I mean, because we are talking billion dollars,
yes.
Okay? And so there's going to be a lawsuit, and apparently the case will go to trial sometime in 2014, according to ESPN. But this will be a situation where the college athletes, the student athletes.
God bless Tom Turbeville.
You betcha. Will be able to share in the revenues of these broadcasts, both live and rebroadcast. That could change things a little bit.
You know, having been a scholarship athlete, I'm 50-50 because we couldn't have a job. I don't know if that rule still holds.
Well,
but, I mean, we had literally, if your mom and dad couldn't help, you had no walking around money at all.
I'm just saying. That's you may have a whole lot of walking around money soon.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we talk about the buyback gun programs and that sort of stuff, right? How the police departments get together and they have, you know, a deal where you come in and you give them your weapon. And
yeah, we talked about the rocket launcher
yesterday. Exactly, got the rocket launcher. Well, leave it to enterprising U.S. Americans to always find a loophole in the midst of your ever-expanding government regulation.
Mm-hmm.
While thousands of Seattle residents lined up for hours to trade their handguns and rifles and family heirlooms away in exchange for up to a $200 gift card, up to $200, as part of the city's latest gun buyback program, gun collectors who have seen prices for assault weapons and firearms accessories obviously go up like by a tripled since November, took advantage. They walked in and they started, I mean, offering people lots more money. I mean, holding up signs saying, money for assault rifles, fast cash for your gun, let me adopt your gun. I mean, that wasn't the idea, was it?
The police, the sheriff was none too happy.
Yeah, Sheriff David A. Clark. No, that was in Milwaukee, David Clark, same thing. Really not happy about that. So, I mean, that's the American way, isn't it?
Well, to give you an idea, you could buy an AR-15 about 3 months ago for a grand or so.
Right.
Now it's going to run you somewhere between $300 and $3,500.
Yeah. Mm. And again, there are a lot of people who bought them a long time ago. And, you know, knew that at some point they'd be able to sell them for more.
Man, should have got two.
It's like any other commodity. And again, if you've got people standing on the side with signs saying, I'm going to pay you a hell of a lot more than $200, I mean, why not?
I'm telling you, if we can get gun manufacturers to move to Texas, it will be a boom.
Well, but they don't have to now. They don't have to move any place. I mean, I don't know how you could get them here. They've already got their plants. What do you have in your hand? Oh, you were. Wait,
are you getting a telegram?
No, I don't think so. A telegram? I don't think so. Why? Why do you think I'm getting a telegram?
Just sounded like somebody else.
No,
Texas broadcaster of the year.
All of this is true.
Yeah.
He's the general manager.
Yeah.
Think you're going to get away with it? Not up in here!
Area man, Mr. Ben Downs.
Well, I feel awful, but I'm back in town.
Why do you feel awful?
I was down, you know, down Palm Beach.
And all of
the people I had to work with knew I was from the South or from the Midwest. Everyone was from the Midwest or from the East Coast, and they were all sniffling, coughing, gagging, wheezing. It was just awful. But anyway, but the presents I brought back this time.
Yes.
And, Kat, this goes for you and Kevin as well.
Oh,
you have
good.
A choice. I mean, I, you know, it's not exactly like I can bring back rum every time I come, but and this time because I was in the presence of overwhelming wealth. I mean, I'm telling you, if money talks, it would completely drown out the sound of the private jets.
Wow.
But anyway, overwhelming wealth. That was, you know, you drive past, there's Trump. He's very discreet. His 737 has Trump written on the side of
very
it.
Very nice.
In pink letters?
No, it's in kind of, my color memory isn't good. But
it's black and gold, I think.
And the helicopter has Trump written on both sides.
So that you know, it's Trump.
Trump is landing at the compound, and Rod Stewart and all these guys and everything. So I turned to thievery.
Okay.
Cool. Attaboy.
Yeah. Cool. If I had been there 2 weeks, I'd have come back Comrade Ben.
So, wow, look at that.
So,
wow, look at those.
With the understanding that all of this...
this is very proper for a government function, right?
Yeah, well, it's not really government. It's, but, yeah, I understand. But anyway, it's... I've been busy stealing, and I have pens from the Four Seasons and pens from the Ritz-Carlton that I can offer.
Nice.
Now, as you can see, the Four Seasons pen has a little Four Seasons logo on the
very
top.
Oh, it does. I see that. That's very nice.
Four
yes.
Seasons, and yeah. It is in black and silver. These are their free pens.
Yeah.
They're free pens they give you. And, and I took advantage of that. They're...
Because chains are so nasty on the desk. Yeah.
It's so hard to clean.
They really are.
And then, and then the Ritz-Carlton pins are this brushed silver.
Yeah.
It's brushed chrome kind of. It's chrome with brushed
Got
chrome
going on,
top
yeah.
and bottom. Both with the accompanying logos of the places where I stole them from. So which would you like, Scott? Just in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the Ritz-Carlton pins write a little better.
Now, does it say Ritz-Carlton?
Yeah,
what?
It just says Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, well, no, I've already got one of those.
Okay, then do you have a Four Seasons pen?
No, I don't think I've... no.
Okay.
Okay.
Four Seasons.
Oh,
okay, there you go.
So,
that's Four Seasons.
Okay.
And which one
wow,
do you want,
that's
Kat?
Awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I'd have to look at them.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Okay, well, and Kevin, do you have one you'd like to use to fill in your collection?
Yes, or? I would like the Ritz-Carlton pen, please.
Okay, very well. Scott, yes, it is refillable.
It is.
They're
I
not throwaway.
They really are.
They are
wow.
not throwaway wow. pens. They actually have a refillable pen. They both can
yeah,
be used.
Now if we could just get Pens Plus here, then we'll have all the refills that we need.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was pretty spectacular. I had an extra 2 hours before the airport. Yesterday, uh-huh. and so I went for a drive.
Oh, and did you?
I drove all the way down from Palm Beach to Boca Raton.
Really?
And then drove back, and it was going to be a little tight, you know, the time, but I was going to be okay until I discovered a lesser-known part of living on an island, and that's the drawbridge.
Ah, yes. Oh.
Yeah, so it was, it was a little
holdback time there, huh?
Yes. Yeah, it was.
Squeaky bun time,
Yep. But anyway, made it, flew in through the tornadoes or whatever we had last night outside of Houston.
Well, what was funny, as I know, is the meeting is breaking up, and Ben's chatting with the other people. They're going, oh, you're flying commercial, I think.
You know, I did.
And stealing pins.
Yeah. Did you get any real orange juice? Like real Florida orange juice?
What do you mean? I was just sitting on the side of my bed this morning expecting Lily to knock on the door and say, would you like some orange juice this morning?
Yeah, but welcome back to the real world.
Yeah, honey.
Hi, Dad.
What you drawing?
It's our house. That's you.
Oh.
Me.
Huh?
Mom. And Josh.
Wow.
Playing ball.
You are becoming quite the artist.
When you're a kid, you don't know that home ownership builds communities. That owning a home contributes to higher self-esteem and better test scores. You just know that home is where you play, grow, and learn. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know that home ownership matters to our families, our neighborhoods, and our country. Learn more at houselogic.com/homeownership.
Hi, I'm Brian Windham.
And I'm Allison Windham.
And we're Windham Construction.
Take a look around your home. See a kitchen or bathroom that needs a new look? Maybe a change in paint color would make all the difference. Not entertaining because there's no space? Remodeling may be your answer.
Allison's decorating vision and people skills will provide a positive experience.
Brian and his crews provide detailed craftsmanship and complete satisfaction.
Let Windham Construction handle all your construction and remodel needs. Windham Construction, 324-8596.
Hey, I appreciate you doing a testimonial for us.
You guys changed my life.
Well, thanks.
I'm on the radio?
Yep.
I'm on the air?
Yep.
And nobody knows it's me, right? Because I'm a very private person.
That's why we gave you a wig and blurred your face.
Oh, and did you disguise my voice?
Uh-huh.
Good. Ask away.
And what kind of job did you find at AggieLandHelpWanted.com?
Oh, a retail job. I posted a resume in minutes. It was free, super easy.
Thank you, Bunny Grosky. We appreciate your help.
Oh, you just said my name.
There's a delay. We can edit it out.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
No. AggieLandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Here you go, 10 till, News Talk 1620, WTAW. Professional pole dancers in China continuing their fight against people who think their craft is only for strippers. A group of pole...
It's not?
Yeah, no. A group of pole dancers, that'd be a group, that'd be one man and three women.
Oh, man.
Is there such a thing as a male pole dancer?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean,
They're not strippers. He's just doing it for the exercise.
It. They chose to perform outside in freezing conditions, as long as you don't touch your tongue to the pole, just to make a point. They did it to raise awareness and demand that people start thinking about taking them seriously. The group considers themselves to be China's national pole dancing squad. Boy, imagine if we ever have a pole dancing Olympics, I guess they'll be the ones who will represent China. A spokesperson said, "We train just like athletes. There's nothing sexy about what we do. It is a sport like gymnastics."
Okay.
Well, maybe it's different in China.
Yeah. The art remains taboo in China. No, you can't do it.
If some butts were candy and nuts, it'd be Christmas all year
That's
long.
That's right. Now, it's, let me see. Okay, so Kat, I don't know what. When does the first, how many science fairs have you taken part in?
Oh, all the ones I was forced to participate
yeah,
in.
Yeah, see, okay, so go ahead.
Science fair, I have mixed feelings. Science fair sounds like it should be something great, like the World's Fair from, you know, the 1800s or something. You expect all this great stuff, but then once you get up to, you know, high school or junior high and you're forced to be in it, and they don't want any, like, ideas you came up with yourself. They want you to just recreate an experiment that's already been done before, and then, you know, the people who win are the one who shave their armpit in different directions or whatever, and I don't know. I grew mushrooms on several different kinds.
Shaved their armpit.
Yeah, that got my attention too.
Well, okay. Gotcha.
What grade
was that in? Yeah.
That was in high school.
Oh, was it? Okay. Okay.
I grew different mushrooms on different kinds of wood.
Okay.
But did I ever make it? No.
Okay. Well,
but it was an original idea.
And again, you see, and that's good, but you hit exactly on the idea of, you know, if you've got some kind of benefits through what your parents can bring to the experiment, it could do a little bit better for you than, the other kids.
Oh, you mean if mom and dad made it?
Well,
okay.
Or just, well, in this case, didn't necessarily make it, but the story comes now of fourth grader Emma Bartlett, who won first prize in her science fair at her school. She had a little bit of help. You see, her dad's a cop for the Miami-Dade Police Narcotics Bureau.
Uh-oh.
He provided her with three drug-sniffing dogs. Now, you see, your normal fourth grader can't get that.
No, you're right. That's cheating.
I would have to say she had a distinct advantage.
Well, it's not fair anyway. I mean, I know people who made up their results and got prizes. I'm not bitter.
Okay, yeah, I could tell. So, not just three drug-sniffing dogs. Two officers. Oh, and by the way, 28 grams of cocaine powder, too.
Hey, there you go.
It's, I mean, that's, you know, an ounce of cocaine is like $1,300 on the streets of Miami. So,
How do you know that?
That's just what it says here. It's what it says here. Anyway, so the idea was her experiment was a drug-sniffing dog experiment. Okay, there's a little kid who stayed up until 10 o'clock the night before to finish the papier-mâché mountain, you know, so that they could put Alka-Seltzer in it with water and it could, you know,
right?
or whatever, you know, you happen to have seen any of those classic old science fair, or put together the little science fair board, you know, the little three-part board that you stick up there. With
the ones you can never find to buy.
No, Jackie's Toys and Books. And anyway, but cause and effect and all that stuff. Instead, Daddy goes, "Oh, look, let me just bring you three drug-sniffing dogs and a couple of officers and 28 ounces of cocaine, and you can have this contest to see which dog has the best sense of smell."
Bada bing, bada boom. Why not?
How does that advance science?
So she won in fourth grade, okay? District spokesman explained that cocaine is not specifically banned as a material by the district for science fairs.
I do notice, however, you did not ask me about science projects and ask Kat.
Oh, well, okay, no, go right ahead. She
dove
right in. No,
I'm just playing.
Are we talking papier-mâché mountains and Alka-Seltzer? Is that pretty much right?
No, I used a candle.
Oh, okay.
To put out the wick, to use water to put out the wick by sucking the air out of whatever I put over the top of it.
Oh, okay. Oh, very nice.
No, I was more playing along lines. You didn't think I did science.
Well, no. Yeah, no, that's it. Now, more exciting news. I was just in the break room a moment ago, and there's not one, but I believe five, that if I am to believe what the wrapper says, is the world's finest chocolate. Who knew?
I'll be back in a minute.
Well, yeah, but I mean, who knew in College Station, Texas? Let me get a drink of water.
Is it from an emporium here in town?
No, I think it's probably a fundraiser, to be honest with you. Anyway, but that reminds me about this guy in Minnesota. Either the most patient man on earth or he really holds a grudge. The Star Tribune says, back in 1952, a 14-year-old boy named Dave Bell wrote to a candy company to complain about a less-than-perfect chocolate bar that he bought. The company wrote the teen a letter of apology, but they didn't offer him a free candy bar to make up for his bad experience, which is a little unusual.
Yeah, I would think a little.
Well, you could, I mean, that'd be a real fast solution, I would think, give the kid a second chance. But now Bell, who is 74,
this is not going to bode well.
Finally contacted him again to express he's still unhappy. The first time they sent him free treats, including a 5-pound salted nut roll, 60 years after the original incident. A 5-pound salted nut roll? No word on whether or not he's finally satisfied with their response, but
Holy cow, he did say
he doesn't plan to share the candy. Think about, I mean, is that like a, is that a giant, what is it, a payday? Is that what that is?
I think there's one called a nut roll nut ball. Yeah.
Okay, well, 5 pounds worth, which, you know, that's like a salami, right? I mean,
It really is.
You could hit somebody and hurt them with that. But again, the whole idea, held that grudge for 60 years and he gets a 5-pound salted nut roll.
That's, hey, if you like to sew and your sewing machine is just not working correctly, or it's running slow and you can't get your projects finished, then you need to come see us at Sovac City. At Sovac City, we have a full-service repair department, and we can make your sewing machine run like new again. Our service department is trained on all machines, including the new computer sewing machines and even the commercial multi-needle embroidery machines. We now have 2 locations to serve you. Sovac City and College Station in front of HEB are our new warehouse showroom location at 700 South Bryan Avenue in downtown Bryan. Sovac City and College Station, and now in Bryan. Come on down and see us.
I do not pretend to know what's going to happen in the weather, even though I read it to you every, you know, every few minutes. But the folks at ABC Home and Commercial Services want to tell you that no matter what the weather is going to be, they're there to help you out. You know, normally we're talking about the cold and chilly weather that drives insects into your home or your outbuildings or places that you don't want them, and they can take care of the ones that are in there and make sure that others don't get in. That's normally what we'd be talking about this time of year, and then we'd be talking about maybe you want to schedule a yard cleanup to get you started when you begin planting things, and here it is, we're not even out of January, and some of the trees are already budding. So no matter what, and because they've been doing this for 60 years, ABC Home and Commercial Services has seen all of this happen before, and they can help you along the way, whether it is controlling pests in your home, whether they're 6-legged kind or 8-legged kind or 4-legged kind, or wildlife. You know, if you live out in the country, there's wildlife out there that's very pretty until they start coming in and chewing on your trees. Lawn services as well, and landscaping. And you know what? They also help you out with sprinklers as well. ABC Home and Commercial Services can do all that for you. So why don't you give them a call at 361-0500 or go to the website, which is abchomeandcommercialservices.com. ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment. Couple of minutes till... And again, while we're talking about the weather, just really, really strange stuff. Just is. And I guess you heard in other parts of the country where they'd be looking at blizzard conditions, they have tornadoes possible in the central part of the U.S.
With a blizzard coming Thursday. Come on.
Yeah. And I was just looking at Chicago, I think, earlier this week set a 99-year record for the warmest temperature, and now they're going to be down to 13 degrees or something tonight. So it really is strange stuff. And again, monster wind yesterday. I mean, I
got a little hail at the house last night.
Did you? And I know that there was some of that spotty around there. But yeah, you could have flown a really big kite yesterday. And you may still be able to today. 15 to 20 miles an hour, increasing to 25, and then maybe by this afternoon, gusts as high as 35 miles an hour. It's just they were sustained winds yesterday, just blew and blew. Anyway, tonight northwesterly winds 5 to 10. It'll be a little chilly. 36. 66 for our high temperature on Thursday and up near 70 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with no mention of rain in the forecast. Lots of sunshine. So that ought to be pleasant. All that and low taxes. That's why we love being in Texas. Not such good news for TNT, the season opener for Dallas. Down more than 50% over last season's premiere. And again, this was the Larry Hagman deal. I mean, before the beginning of the show, they did a short tribute to Larry Hagman, who had passed away during the filming this season. But the second season opener on Monday only pulled in 2.9 million viewers. Pretty good for cable series, but much less than the 6.8 million that they had last June. So I guess they'll be looking at that. Okay, let's see here your top 9 TV shows from last week.